Greetings from the Sun Falls, upstate New York. I drove here from New York today, so whenever I drive, it's not really the best day to prepare for the class. I have to be very frank. So I'm just going to speak about Radha again, because tomorrow is Radhastami in New York. Gail, I just want to tell you something real interesting also is, I'll tell to everyone, but first, Omigana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Daksur Mutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Bhupakadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, yesterday I gave a class on Sri Radha, Storm Stories and Philosophy at the Bhakti Center. And to me, it's always a difficult lecture because there's different audiences, from the most senior to they're just new people. So I walked out to the Harinam and did it. An hour or so, Harinam at Union Square, and then I walked back, and I sitting in the lobby just as I came in, and then this lady walked in and said, like to go to the kirtan, but it was really early. I think it was 5:45. So they said, well, it's upstairs. It starts at 6:15. She said, okay, I'll come back. Then she comes back, and somehow I'm walking up the stairs, and she's walking at the same time, and then she asked if I'm living there or something. Are you a monk here? I said, I am. And she said, okay, I'm going to the kirtan. I said, well, actually, it's not just kirtan, it's a class. And, I'm giving the class. And it's very, very unpretentious. Very unpretentious lady. So I get the class, and she's sitting in the front. And I figure, okay, she's new, but I'm still going to speak about Radha. So I kind of felt like she really couldn't understand anything. She couldn't understand the songs that I'm singing. But what can I do? It's really kind of almost like a congregational program. But new people do come. So anyway, that's what I did. And then after the class, I saw, things are not so organized to take care of people, so I saw that she just may leave. So I asked Gail, please go speak to her, and then Gail spoke to her. And then she came up to me after the class, and I said, really this class was, kind of not just for new people. She said, no, I enjoyed the class like that. And I asked her what she did, and she said, well, she was a journalist. So So I said, you know, she writes books. I said, do you make ends meet that way? She said, yeah, I do okay. I said, well, where did you go to school? And she said, well, I went my undergraduate in Yale, and then I went to Oxford. Actually, she was a Rhodes Scholar. Then I said, well, you know, if you ever go to India, please, you know, look me up. She said, oh, I'm going in January. I said, do you have a card? She said, no, I don't have a card with me. I said, well, get a piece of paper and I'll give you my, you know, give me your email. So she comes back with a half a paper plate. She says, I don't have a pen. And I write the name. And then when she writes the name is Naomi Wolf, and I kind of recognize the name. And it's just interesting. She's listening about she's an author of many, many international bestsellers. Actually, she's internationally famous, actually. She wrote a book called The Beauty Myth, which she became one of the most famous feminists in the world. And anyone who's slightly intellectual knows her. People say it's, anyway, it was just really, really interesting. And then she also was she's and then she was a, you know, she was a consultant for Al Gore, Bill Clinton, a very highly paid one. And so it's just interesting. I thought she was so unpretentious. And she just sat humbly listening to the lecture. And then Gail spoke to her. But I was impressed that she was just so unpretentious. But actually, she's, it's usually when people have that much notoriety, is that the word, or fame, or whatever, when people have and they usually kind of project themselves, even devotees. So kind of interesting. Anyway, we're trying to share the teachings, and here the most famous feminist in the world gets to hear about Radha, and we'll also get to hear something about Radha. Maybe this audience is different because it's all devotees, but Radha in our Gaudiya tradition, you can't separate Radha and Krishna. It's the complementary side of the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is male and female. It's the Shaktiman, the source of energy, the energetic source, just like a flower and its scent. And even though it has a context that there's, you know, the Shaktiman is Krishna and that's male, and the female is Radha, because the female, the feminine side of the Absolute Truth is love. It's actually love personified. It's actually the full capacity to love. Then, love is all powerful. And Radharani's 25th quality is that she even controls Krishna. And that's actually glory. If one is not controlled by love, he's heartless. If someone gives their whole life to you and sacrifices their whole life to you, and you're not influenced by that, you're heartless. So, one of Krishna's glories is actually that he's controlled by love. And Radharani has the full capacity to love. And love means both the feeling and the offering. Just like when you define bhakti, the best definition I've seen of bhakti is seva, which means loving responsiveness to the Lord. Loving responsiveness. And seva, it's loving and it's responsiveness, it's both. So Radharani has the most love and she has the fullest capacity, therefore, to please and express that love. Therefore, she is the most pleasing because she is the most loving. And that is an existential principle of reality. That the greatest pleasure is the greatest love, which is the most pleasing with the full capacity to please. And pleasing means to express that love. I always give the understanding that if you want to understand Radha, the feminine aspect of the absolute reality, you have to understand the relationship between love, between pleasure, love, and beauty. Pleasure principle is there. Everyone is acting for pleasure. It's the guiding principle in this world. And pleasure is love. You can have everything in the world, but if your heart's not filled with love, you're not happy. That's the pleasure principle. You have love, you have pleasure. And love means to offer the best. So there's a principle that offers the best of themselves. They offer the best beauty. They offer the best mind. They offer the best heart. They offer the best talent as an expression of love. It's just like a mother with love. The best mother has the most love. And she can communicate that love by making beautiful things to please her children. Not that she has love and she feeds the children slop. Of course, she may have love and do that, so it may be that, but in the absolute reality, you have love and you offer the best. You offer the best. So Radharani is Maha Bhav Swarup. Maha Bhav Swarup. She is Mahabhav Swarup. She is the fullest manifestation of love. You describe it as God and God's energy. Energy means what? It's Shakti. It's a feminine principle. It's a principle. Energy means to serve its source. The essence of all energy, therefore, is love. Because energy is meant to please. So Radha has that fullest capacity to please. She both has the most love, and because she's that principle of love, she has the greatest facility to express that love. therefore, in one sense, service to Krishna is executed through Radha. And that's why Prabhupada says, Radharani is the symbol of the topmost bhakti, is so powerful that she has purchased Krishna. Therefore, Vaishnavas take shelter of the lotus feet of Radharani, for she recommends, oh, here is a nice devotee, Krishna must accept. We should be more interested in worshiping Radharani, for however fallen we may be, if somehow or other we can please her, we can very easily understand Krishna. So she has the fullest capacity. Because everything is composed of love. Everything is saying, I love you. A woman can say, I love you by dressing nicely for her husband. Right? And then her beauty is because he wants to please. So it's an expression, I love you. I love you. I'm dressing beautiful. I love you. Of course, in the material world, it's mixed with the self-centered, you love me. My desires are important. Love is your desires important. I love you. And therefore, if Radharani has a jewel that she decorates so that she'll look beautiful for Krishna, she can please Krishna. When she has that jewel is composed of her. It's not different. It's the same Mahabhav. It's the same expression. It's the same voice. I love you. It is Krishna praying. In the deepest way. And therefore, this Radha Krishna, it's really not boy-girl as we know it. Because boy-girl as we know it is an expression of how I can be pleased rather than how you can be pleased. So it's different. Iron and gold are best both metals. That's the example. But the quality is there. This is bhava. This is beauty that's a manifestation of bhava. Not a beauty that's a manifestation of karma. Because when you have beauty, when you have opulence, then people want to please you and you can control them to your desire. But this is beauty that is meant to move according to Krishna's desire. Bhakti means for others. Love means for others. It's all for the pleasure of Krishna. And therefore, when it's described in the various spiritual texts, there's some sense that there's this superlative feminine principle that has the best of everything. The best beauty, the best mind, the best talent, the best physical form. And because she represents the full capacity to love, without her, Krishna cannot enjoy. Because that's the divine, absolute principle of pleasure. For the pleasure of the divine, absolute principle. Manifest in the greatest intensity. I love you, my beauty, I love you, my talent. In Ramananda Samvad, which is one of the greatest books about comparative religion, and when it gets up to the highest form of love, when it gets up to the highest form of love, when it gets up to the highest form of love, so in this Ramananda Samvad describes love in terms of intensity and singularity. And the greatest love is the love of the gopis for Krishna. Again, it's not material. It's the embodiment of love. It's the intensity of love. It's the form of lust, but the lust or the intensity is for love. It's not for selfishness, but it's for selflessness. Even Radha, when she competes with Chandravali, she has a competitor for Krishna. When she competes with Chandravali, her mood is I can please Krishna best, therefore I will compete. And if Chandravali could serve Krishna best, then she would serve Chandravali. And Ramananda Samvad, it's very, very beautiful. And when it comes and it describes the gopis, when Krishna blows his flute, and Krishna, by blowing his flute, is personally expressing the love in his heart. That's one of his qualities. The intimate sense of God, when God can reveal himself fully. That's what Krishna means. We explain it so. So God reveals himself fully through his flute. And he's calling the devotees, I love you, I love you. And individually, they hear the flute as their name. There's a melody that Krishna plays that speaks to their heart. And when that sense of love awakens in the heart, they're drawn to Krishna despite any obstacle and despite any sacrifice, they're drawn to Krishna. They're drawn to Krishna. They give up everything for Krishna. They drop their children, their cooking, their husbands, they run. Everything for Krishna. And of course, when they get there, there's a loving exchange. And then finally, they accept Krishna. Finally, Krishna accepts them and they dance. And the love is churned by the most beautiful dance, the most beautiful singing, the most beautiful music. And this love becomes so high. This love becomes so high that it becomes greater than Krishna. The rasa, the love becomes greater than God, because God becomes intoxicated by that love. Therefore, He doesn't act for pleasure. He's the karma, he's the actor that's created the pleasure. But out of pleasure, he acts. Out of pleasure, he acts. So the pleasure, like an intoxicated person, it becomes greater than Krishna. Out of pleasure, he acts. And that love is so intense, so singular, that Krishna feels, I can't reciprocate this love. Because there's nothing greater than that love. Even Krishna's love for them cannot compare. Because his love is for all, in all relationships, and their love is so singular for Krishna. So even Krishna can't reciprocate their love. He says you have to be satisfied with the love itself. Yet napadiye hum, there is no way I can repay you. But when Radha leaves the rasa dance, wanting to be exclusively with Krishna, then Krishna also leaves the rasa dance. The Ramananda, the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Lord Krishna's desire for the Rasa Leela is perfectly complete, but Srimate Radharani is the binding desire in that link, binding link in that desire. The Rasa dance does not shine in the heart of Krishna without Radha. Therefore, he gave up the circle of the Rasa dance and went out to search for her. Since Krishna's desires were not satisfied even in the midst of hundreds of thousands of gopis, and he was thus searching for Radha, we can easily imagine how transcendentally qualified she is. Because all love, all Shakti, is only an expansion of that energy. When that energy is personified, we described yesterday her fragrance in a forest of magnolia trees. And Krishna is and what is that? It's not I'm wearing this perfume. Wearing this perfume so you'll be attracted to me. I'm wearing this perfume so you will be happy. And therefore, the fragrance of her body is Krishna Prema. Because it's alive, it's an energy. And it's an energy that moves and shapes itself for pleasure. And therefore, this world is a reflection of that. Her divine form reveals a new, exciting youthfulness. That quality by which the young gopis appear to be fully bedecked with all varieties of ornaments, when in fact she is not. Her form is so beautiful, it seems to be bedecked with ornaments, but it's not, even without that. And there's an indescribable aura that emanates within every limb of her body in a way, it's like the glow expands from a pearl. And the limbs, and the perfect and charming arrangement of all the limbs, and the beauty of the tip of her fingernails puts Lakshmi and all other manifestations to shame. And it's as if great heaps of sweetness have been gathered together in one body to enchant the universe. The body that's so soft, the inability to tolerate the touch of any object like a soft flower garland. And a unique quality that causes the beauty parts of one's body to be transmitted to other objects in proximity. all a manifestation of I love you. And that's the energy that we want in our hearts to be satisfied. And that's what bhakti means. Bhakti means when your desire to serve at the highest level, which is service to God, is so pronounced that the loving energy of God comes to your heart because it's required to come to God. It is of God, but to God. And it's required to come through your hearts. And that's what the process of bhakti is. The process of bhakti is hearing about this love. And therefore developing the strongest greed to have it, with the strongest trust and faith that getting this thing in your heart is really true sublimity. Aniyarati to Nunam Bhagavan Hari Ishra Yanovidaya Govinda Pati Yamaniyavita. There's no other Aniyaradito that has the full capacity to give that love to Krishna. It is his exchange with his own potency. God is enjoying. And what is he enjoying? Love. And how does he enjoy it? In relationship with his own inseparable energy that combine, form the absolute truth. Rasa Vaisaha. Rasa Vaisaha means that is rasa. That is loving exchange. It's reality. And our happiness is to participate in that reality by assisting that loving exchange. And that's what Krishna Leela is. It's the love we show by making Krishna happy, by his allowance for us to participate in his Leela, which makes him happy, which is to bring together the union of Radha and Krishna. Govinda Vindavandate Triloka Shokahamani Pasana Bhakta Punkta Jaina Kunjavu Vilasani Vajenda Bhani Nandani Vajenda Suna Sangate Tadakaris Yasihamam Kripa Tatasha Bhajanam Ashoka Vrikshavala Rivatana Manda Pastate Pravala Vala Pala Bhakta Bhavinangri Komale Varabhayasparatare Prabhutta Sampadalaye Tadakarisya Sihamam Kripakitaksha Bhajanam Tadit Suvarna Champakapadita Gora Vigrahe Mukhaprabhaparasta Koti Saradendu Mandale Pachitta Chitta Sancharacha Kola Shavalochane Tadakarisya Sihamam Kadar As lightning's radiant illumination or gold, or the blossoms of the champak is the fairness of her limbs. The lightning's radiant illumination or gold, or the blossoms of the champak is the fairness of her limbs. The shining brilliance of her face defeats the glory of millions, moons of the Sharad. with eyes restless like long chakoras, bewildered by strange and dazzling scenes. Oh, when will she shower upon thee? So many descriptions. Okay, are there any questions? I may have to end just a little earlier today because I came a long distance, but any questions, I'll be happy. Anybody have any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Nandadula, Hare Bell.
It reminded me wonderfully you explained Radharani's in a position, you know, and Jiva Goswami's that song. This actually etched in my heart. Radhe jaya jaya madhava doite gokula tarani mandala mujite damodara te vardhana deshe hori nishkuta binda bitineshe radhe jaya jaya madhava doite Vishwamanudodhi Navasakshileke Lolita Shokhi Gunaro Mita Vishakhi Adhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Doite Koruna Kurumai Koruna Bhoite Chunukha Sanatana Varnita Chorite. Such a wonderful realization of Rupa Goswami Maharaj.
Wow. Thank you. That was so beautiful.
And Maharaj, I was just listening to Prabhupada's lecture in London about Radhika Radhashtami. He didn't give the whole description, but he just told one thing. On this day, just ask Radharani, I'm fallen soul. Please accept me, as you mentioned, and offer it to Krishna. That was Prabhupada in 1975, the last visit in London.
Wow.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful explanation.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Is out of time for questions? I can hold it.
No. Did you know that lady was so famous, Gail?
No. Mm-mm.
What was it like when you were talking with her?
She just came across as a nice, personable person, and it was easy to talk with her.
Was she asking any questions?
I don't know. It was, you know, just our conversation flowed pretty well. It was like back and forth, but I wouldn't say so many questions.
Okay. Anyway, I'm going to call you afterwards, okay?
Okay, can I ask a question? Or
yeah.
Do you want, should I wait?
That's
okay.
You can ask you can ask one question.
Yeah, it was just to clarify. I thought I heard you say that this world was like a manifestation of Radharani's bhav or love. Or something to that effect. Did I hear that right?
No. But it's not a manifestation of Radharani's love. I said something else, something like, I was talking about something else. That all love in the spiritual world is a manifestation of that energy. And even here, it's just a perverted reflection of that energy. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to listen again to that section.
Okay, let me know. Okay, Gail, I'm just going to call you for a second right after this, okay?
All right, no problem.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we'll end here. Vanchakopa to his circuit.